You're listening to Chasing the Word on Compassion Radio.
Good morning. It's time for Chasing the Word on Compassion Radio. And today we're jumping into the Psalms of Ascent again. We're getting close to the end of our journey. We're going to focus on Psalm 129 today. Good morning, honey.
Good morning to you. Last week we had a really joyous and ebullient celebration experience where God himself shouting it out, "Celebrate, you're at my place." Instantly, we flip the cards and we have this prayer time for the time of persecution. It's still a song of ascent, and now we're actually approaching the temple on the main level of the Temple Mount. Why would there be a song of persecution and prayer for that as we approach what should be the safe zone? We're home free now. We're on the Temple Mount.
I mean, you called it a song of persecution, but I don't really see it that way. I see it as a reminder of things we've gone through, because it doesn't end in persecution. It ends in another blessing in some ways, like Psalm 128 did. It's a reminder psalm at the beginning to me. These are the things that happened to us as a people, happened to me personally, yet God showed up. And isn't that like all of our lives?
Yeah. And why would God not show up in his own house? So we're arriving here together. This is the God's road music for us to approach his temple. Let's walk in together. And Sandy, like you've been doing all along this series, I'll have you read the psalm, only 8 verses, and we'll discuss more about how it rings true or demands something new of us as we finish out the broadcast. But you're going to be reading from the Passion Translation this week.
Mm-hmm. A Song of the Stairway. Let all Israel admit it. From our very beginning, we have been persecuted by the nations. And from our very beginning, we have faced never-ending discrimination. Nevertheless, our enemies have not defeated us. We're still here. They have hurt us more than can be expressed, ripping us to shreds, cutting deeply into our souls. But no matter what, the Lord is good to us. He is a righteous God who stood to defend us, breaking the chains of the evil ones that bound us. May all who hate us fall back in disgrace to a shameful defeat. Let them be like grass planted in shallow soil that soon withers with no sustenance. Let them be like weeds ignored by the reaper and worthless to the harvester. Let no one who sees them say, "May the blessing of Jehovah be upon your life. May the Lord bless you."
Now, this is a tough psalm to be putting in the middle of all this other celebratory stuff. And it's tough for a lot of reasons. I think modern day, it's not so clear cut who good guys and bad guys are anymore because we live in a very complex world. Because we have so many nations competing for so little land left on this planet, and they all have a notion that they're the blessed ones, they're the right nation always, you know, we start that way. Americans feel that way, Russians feel that way, Chinese feel that way, and they act like it. Mm-hmm. So we live in a world where this kind of thing is an emotional response to feeling like we're on our heels, and we don't want to be on our heels. What they call imprecatory psalms, where they call out to God to squash the enemy like a bug.
Well, David did that quite a lot.
Yes, he did.
And this one is not attributed to David, although he very well could have written it.
It's very much in the spirit of
but
a young guy who was fighting.
A lot like him.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I think about how many times throughout my life I have been hurt by someone or a situation, and I've gone, just been infuriated by it, and honestly prayed that God would do something about it, that God would squash an enemy or would let them get their comeuppance
like
or whatever.
A bug.
Yeah, and this is a very honest prayer, a very honest prayer and song, if you want to call it that. I don't know how fun it would be to sing this one, but...
Well, if you're really marching.
But he talks about, from the beginning, there's been people against us. There's been people against me. I think about how the Apostle Paul talks about the Gentiles being grafted into Israel, and we are the new Israel, and how Paul talks about that kind of intermingling and us becoming, as the Gentiles, becoming part of the body, part of the children of God. So I count myself in this psalm.
Yeah.
You know, I am part of that grafting in to Israel. So I don't know that I have felt like from the very beginning of my life I've been squashed and persecuted. But there have been times in my life that I have felt very distant from God because there was so much destruction around me, or so many things that felt like they were going against me. So I think God is saying, with this in here, to my spirit, it's okay to pray this way. Because I hear your heart. I see your situation and your circumstances. And I'm going to be God no matter what. I'm sovereign. So it doesn't scare me for you to pray this way.
I'm a bit confused about that last verse because it says in this translation, may those who pass by never cry out, quote, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. It's almost petty. It's like the person who is coming before God is saying, I don't want that person to bless me. I don't want them to ever have a reason for it because they have hurt me. So hurt them back.
Oh, see, I read it from a different perspective. I read it as verses 3 through 7 are talking about, this is what I want to happen to my enemies. And I don't want anyone passing by to bless my enemies, to say these blessings upon them. Now, I mean, I suppose it could be either way, but that's just the way I read it.
Yeah, but there seems to be a kind of a hidden resentment in this, whoever it's being pointed at. And that troubles me a bit because I think this is part of God's word. This is a song of God's people coming to his temple in his presence. And here we are shouting out imprecations against our enemies right here. And really?
Well, we know that Jesus kind of turned this on his head.
Yeah, he did. So imagine Jesus leading this troop. What would he have to say about those particular words and feelings? Or would he say anything at all?
Wow, that's an interesting thought because, you know, historically, Jesus must have sung these Psalms of Ascent as he went to Jerusalem with his family for feast days. So, wow, that's an interesting thought. I don't know how to think about that because Jesus says very forcefully, pray for those who persecute you. Mm-hmm. Love your enemies.
Right.
Turn the other cheek when you're slapped. He's very adamant about that kind of attitude and living a peacemaking life.
Yeah.
He was definitely a conscientious objector.
Put yourself in modern day Christianity around the world. People who do experience persecution, who do experience loss constantly, mm-hmm. who are always on the receiving end of somebody's aggression. It's happening, friends, and we've had the distinct honor, not pleasure, but honor, mm-hmm. to sit with those who are being persecuted, who have stories to tell that are very hard to hear, and they're hard to repeat. And yet they are the story of God's people.
Mm-hmm.
Around the world, it is quite consistently part of the culture of the kingdom to chant the Psalms.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many traditions in the Western church, too, that make it part of their regular worship to sing these songs or to chant them or speak them to each other time after time after time. They repeat these over years.
Mm-hmm.
There are believers around the world that are praying and singing this very psalm. And we look at that and say, well, of course, it's the Jews. We're talking about the Jewish people that are singing this song. They were the first, for mm-hmm. sure. But if we really are grafted in, and we really are a family now for those who follow the Rabbi Yeshua, we're all in on this, and we all have a reason to sing this psalm wherever we're coming from. It ain't just the Jewish people that are singing this psalm anymore.
Right.
It is those who reach out to God and feel like they need vindication. How long must we suffer, O Lord?
Mm-hmm.
There are believers in Gaza that are singing this psalm. And what would that mean for the Christians in a country right now that is being attacked by the country of Israel? I have no idea how to read that one. But I know it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a hard time reconciling that reality by sticking just with a political lens here in the West. And I want to caution our Compassion Radio listeners not to start with and end with a political anything,
mm-hmm.
but be consumed by the calling to be a subject of a king who is the king of this kingdom, which is his body.
Mm-hmm.
It starts with Jesus and it ends with Jesus for us. So we have to recognize that those who follow Yeshua, the one true Lord, they have a right to sing this song, but it's going to have to be through the lens of Jesus, not anybody else, not anything else. So if we have suffered, or we know those who have suffered, can we stand with them and sing this song from a full heart and just let it out and let God deal with that emotion as raw as it is?
Mm-hmm.
Can we allow that to happen? Or does it have to always be one thing for one people and we're looking on the outside. We don't want that one to get close to us. No. We are called to let the whole counsel of God's word into us. Are there going to be times when we have to cough it up and really be honest with God about the sufferings that we have experienced ourselves and the sufferings we're seeing in people around us? Yeah, I believe he will. Why right now at the top of the steps? Well, maybe it's because we are now so close to God that we might be safe enough to really blast it out there without realizing, oh, I shouldn't have done that, and running away. We are way too close at the temple at this point to turn around and walk out on this thing.
Whether getting Bibles into closed countries, relief supplies into dangerous refugee camps, or providing training in theology books to barefoot pastors as they begin their ministry, these are all the kind of things that we love to share with you every day. And more importantly, they're the kind of things we like to do. The first and best way to reach us is through our website, CompassionRadio.com. You can also support us with a call during Pacific Time business hours at 1-800-868-2478. You can also text COMPASSION to 53445 to give right through your phone, no matter where you are.
And note our new mailing address, which is P.O. Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877.
We so much value your messages and letters. And know this, your gift is deeply appreciated. Thank you for loving us in this way.
They have a right to sing this song, but it doesn't have to be through the lens of Jesus, not anybody else, not anything else. So if we have suffered, or we know those who have suffered, can we stand with them and sing this song from a full heart and just let it out and let God deal with that emotion as raw as it is? Mm-hmm. Can we allow that to happen? Or does it have to always be one thing for one people and we're looking on the outside? We don't want that one to get close to us. No. We are called to let the whole counsel of God's word into us. Are there going to be times when we have to cough it up and really be honest with God about the sufferings that we have experienced ourselves and the sufferings we're seeing in people around us? Yeah, I believe he will. Why right now at the top of the steps? Well, maybe it's because we are now so close to God that we might be safe enough to really blast it out there without realizing, oh, I shouldn't have done that, and running away. We are way too close at the temple at this point to turn around and walk out on this thing. I would say the safest place, like any counseling room, any consultation with a pastor, where it all finally comes out and all of our anger finally spills out, who's there to pick up the pieces but the person that's right there in front of you? So I would say this song is safe for us to sing as long as we're really close to God, where he can reach out and hold our shoulder.
When you're in that place, honey, it's all laid bare. It is as if you cannot help but be seen by God. The emotion that so overwhelms you and is churning inside of you because of the deep sorrow that you feel, because of the anger that you feel, because of an unfair attack on your person or your family, is so real and so visual, so visible to God.
Yeah.
So getting to this place and trying to conceal that from God is near impossible, I would say. So we can honestly go into this place. Like you said, we are right there at the top step. We are entering into the courtyard of the temple. It's got to be the most honest place there is outside of the temple itself.
You would hope.
And since we now, as followers of Yeshua, as believers in the Holy Spirit, we are the temple that bears witness to our own pain. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit bears witness to all that we experience. So it's as if in some ways the Holy Spirit themselves is crying out on our behalf.
Yeah. Groaning's too deep for words.
Right.
And if you've ever heard someone actually get confronted by a psalm of scripture that speaks so accurately to where their heart really is, it's almost an assault on you. Like, wow, those words are powerful, but I really didn't want to go there, but here I am.
Yeah.
And they just pull them right out of you. I mean, sometimes like God's singing the chorus so that we have the courage to open our lips and sing it with him. Like he goes first and leads us into a place where we can purge. Sometimes it is like a purge.
Right.
And we're raw before God. And again, it is interesting to me why this would be right after a big celebration psalm, like we just talked about in the previous programs. It is a situation that seems so contrary to, and yet I think in some ways God knows full well that we are a bipolar species. We are ping-ponging back and forth between what we feel good about and what we feel abjectly desperate about. Mm-hmm. How do we reconcile ourselves with ourselves? I mean, am I the same person that that person was last week when they were doing all this other stuff? Well, we look at ourselves and say, I don't know what's going on with me, but yeah, I was the guy that was there doing that. We often, I think, are confused about what we're really made of when we end up on the opposite end of something and suddenly feel something we never thought we would feel or in a place we never thought we'd get to. But all those people that we are coming into the temple. Mm-hmm. So I would think that every time a person approaches the temple to worship, every time someone would go on these journeys from their hometown up through the many rises up to Jerusalem, as many times as you would ever do that, something new or different would jump out at you on each one of these trips because of where you are that year. Mm-hmm. You're going to experience it different. And maybe you'll be experiencing in modern day, you think about Easter coming up. Maybe after we get out of the Lenten season, something new will jump out at you about the story of the resurrection and the passion of Christ, where he started it all with misery, will just pierce your heart like never before. I don't know. But perhaps it would be a wise thing, like these people are being encouraged to do, to get it out and then let God start dissecting it. What do we really have here, friends? You poured all the stuff on my table. Let's take a look at it together. Mm-hmm. And not just leave it in a box by God's door and then run away, but by saying, I don't know what else to give, but my anger right now is the only offering I've got. But I'm going to stay right here until you address it because I'm so frustrated.
Right.
I'm so out of sorts, whatever.
I love what you said there, honey, because I think that the closer we get to the Holy of Holies on this journey, the more drawn in we are by the love of God, the more we are aware of his presence and his passion for us and toward us, that it's a safer place to process these kind of emotions. Yeah. And if you are unable to do that with a friend or with a companion that has physical properties.
Somebody actually hug. Yeah.
God can bear all of that with you. And I don't say that lightly. I have been in that place that I just wanted to scream at the sky, feeling frustrated and angry and hurt and wounded and all of those things. And yet there was such a relief. It was exhausting, but there was such a release of all of that pent-up emotion that there was peace afterwards.
Mm. Yes.
I believe that's where this journey, this psalm, expects us to get to.
We just heard the scripture this past week at church ourselves about Elijah in the cave where he's demanding that God do something. Mm-hmm. And God says, just shut up.
Take a nap.
I'm sealing the cave. Nothing's going to eat you while you're in there. Just go to bed. And when you get up, we'll talk. And then he has that experience of waking up to all these visions of an earthquake and a whirlwind and all these things come at him, fire. And every time he expected God to show up in that vision, and he never did. And then at the very end, God, of course, approaches him and gently, in a still small voice, comes to him to tell him what is really needs to be said to an ear that can really hear it. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't deny that the whirlwind and the earthquake and all those things happen. The tornadoes of life came roaring through.
Yeah.
Those are real experiences that God says, what you experience is something that's real in your heart and in your mind. I'm not that. And I'm not a whirlwind. I'm not tossed about every which way. I am not shaken where I can't even stand on my own ground. I made that ground. Mm. And you are going to do this, this, and this, because at the end of all the shaking, God can speak in a way that we can finally hear it, really. Mm-hmm. I think that's the hope we have as we approach his Holy of Holies, as you say. And hopefully the Holy of Holies is amongst his holy people, people that have been made and are being made holy and being put back together and made whole again in the presence of God's holiness. We got a lot to hope for and expect. And I think the courage comes when we approach the Holy of Holies because we know others are like us, right next to us, experiencing the same thing and venting as necessary, especially when they're given permission by God himself in a psalm like this to sing it out.
Exactly.
Who knows what God's going to do on the other side of it? But sometimes we just got to obey the thing we just don't understand completely. But we know that this is going to be difficult, but we have experienced so far that God is always good.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for joining us on our journey to the temple through the Songs of Ascent, Psalm 129. And we want to encourage you to speak your heart to God honestly and let him hold it for you.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see you tomorrow on Compassion Radio.
Whether getting Bibles into closed countries, relief supplies into dangerous refugee camps, or providing training and theology books to barefoot pastors as they begin their ministry. These are all the kind of things that we love to share with you every day. And more importantly, they're the kind of things we like to do.
Remember, friends, Compassion Radio is always a coalition of the willing. Are you willing to help get out God's good news stories of the kingdom really living the gospel in the 21st century? Oh, I hope so. Just visit our website, CompassionRadio.com. You can also support us with a call during Pacific Time business hours at 1-800-868-2478. 1-800-868-2478. You can also text COMPASSION to 53445 to give right through your phone, no matter where you are.
And our mailing address is P.O. Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877. Again, that's Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877.
We need you, friend, so contact us today.